we can learn from it. So in James chapter 3, look at verse 4. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and driven by rough winds, yet are turned about by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity. Among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the wheel of nature, or birth, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and creeping things and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. But now, notice, that's why tonight I'm telling you about the good and bad of the tongue. Look at verse 9. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father. Is that bad? You say no. How to bless God with the tongue? That's good. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God. That's bad. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. But what has happened is this, and we see it today. It used to be, when I was a little boy, whenever we wanted water, we had a faucet that said hot, and you turned that on and hot water would come out. And you had a faucet that said cold, and then cold water would come out. But now, we have the same spigot, and you can turn on the hot, and hot will come out of it, and you can turn on the cold, and cold will come out of it. We understand it, because the hot is coming from one source, the cold is coming from another source. But we have them coming out the same conduit. Well, what is so bad is this, that our hearts are that way. Our tongues are able to bless God because we've been born again, and our tongues are able to curse men because we still have that fallen nature. And we're going to have coming out of the same fountain sweet and bitter water because we have only one opening out of which the abundance of the heart speaketh. I told you that, so remember it. The tongue is of itself nothing. The hand, the foot, they simply obey what is in the heart, and we know it technically what our minds tell it to do. But the heart is the seat of affection and intellect, and out of that heart can come evil things because we were born with an evil heart, but God has given us a new heart. So we have two natures, the old nature and the new nature. And for that reason, we can bless God and we can curse man. And I think of this, and I say it with shame. I can remember it for so many years ago that at times you might be engaged in prayer and pouring out your heart to God, and then maybe the telephone will ring or something will happen, and someone will say, telephone, and you'll say, all right, all right. How isn't that remarkable? I was just engaged in praise to God, but then there was an interruption, and immediately that communion and that goodness of the heart, suddenly there was irritation, and then words that weren't the kindest kind of words came out. And the Bible says these things ought not so to be, but they happen. And this is what we have to learn. It says the tongue can no man tame. The illustration is this, because it's the same word, that demoniac called Legion, you'll find him in Mark chapter 5, he came out from the tombs, and he was fierce, and the citizens in the country had gotten him, and they had tied him and put chains on him, and he broke those chains, and it says nobody was able to tame him. And so if you of yourself are trying to tame your tongue, you're just as helpless as a man that is demon-possessed for you to go and try to control him. But let me tell you about the good and bad of the tongue. Do you understand that the solution of the tongue that causes so much evil is found in that same tongue? You say, how is that? Listen, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid it not. So, you lack wisdom. You want to control yourself, your emotions, your feelings, your speech. You want that to be controlled. How can you tame it? You can. And so, with that tongue that blesses God, you pray to God. Just as in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. So you can pray also to God about that tongue. And we can't tame that tongue, but God can. And I showed you last week that there are two things. There is the Godward part of controlling the tongue, and there is the manward part of controlling the tongue. And what is so interesting is that before James spoke about a bridle, in the New Testament, you'll find that in the Psalms, a bridle was spoken of in the Old Testament. So, tonight, the tongue, we can talk about the good things of the tongue and the bad things of the tongue. I want to tell you a little bit about the verses here to try to make you understand what James is saying. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. What might that mean? I remember saying words like these. You have caused me a world of trouble. You can understand that. Yes. And it says, the tongue is a world of iniquity. It is great. How widespread. How destructive. It is a world of iniquity. Now, this is tricky, but it's ever so beautiful. It says this. Verse 6. It says, the tongue defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the wheel of birth. Life in the Bible is likened unto many things. And two of them are these. It is a wheel. When you are born, it starts turning. And it turns and turns and turns until you die. And life is like someone that is weaving at the loom. And God weaves and weaves and weaves your life, but then when the end of your life comes, it says God cuts you off from the loom. Isn't that interesting? And you'll find about this wheel in Ezekiel. It says the wheel is broken. And if you've ever been to a mill pond and they had a water wheel that they used it to grind meal, you'll see it turning and turning and turning. And then suddenly it gets rusted and the supports break and that wheel stops turning and it collapses and it's broken. And so this is what your life is like. And this is what is so sad. And this is the bad part. Notice this. It says that this tongue sets on fire the wheel of life, the wheel of birth. Here is your life going round and round and round. And as it does, different circumstances develop. And your tongue sets on fire your wheel as you roll through life. It sets it on fire, and then everything else is affected by that fire. And it says also It said that he'll fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire by hell. And hell is a symbol of Satan and that which is evil. And so what we fail to realize is this, that in the first place, the serpent came and beguiled our parents, Eve, and then Adam willingly submitted. And therefore, here is evil, Satan, hell, defiling mankind. And so here are tongues that are defiling and setting on fire. But what set that tongue on fire? It said, it is set on fire of hell. So here we are, and we're bad enough of ourselves. But at the same time, we have Satan. Let me give you the example. It says in John chapter 13 that Satan had put into the heart of Judas to betray the Lord. You see this fire, this hell that is started by Satan? And when the Lord Jesus gave Judas the sop, it said, Satan entered into him. So here is hell, here is Satan, here is the fire that is evil within us, and that fire affects our hearts, and our tongues come forth, and that which is started by the fire of hell, our tongues are set on fire, and then those tongues are a world of iniquity. That is what is so sad. But I want you to see the good and the bad of it, and return to these references in the Old Testament. Notice, here is hell, here is Satan affecting the tongue of man. Now turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. And listen to these first two verses. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, Seth, the man who was raised on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Now, what is affecting the tongue here? You say, why, this isn't hell, this is heaven. Satan affected it in a bad way, and our tongue will speak out and affect others in a bad way. But here, David said, the Spirit of God was in my tongue, and therefore we get the inspired Word of God. Do you see the good and bad of the tongue? That tongue can be set on fire by hell, or that tongue can be set on fire for good by God. Because when a person has a tongue that is used for God, and as it says to Timothy, that he is to preach, he is to reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. It says, reprove them soundly. What's happening? God has made your tongue a fire, and it goes and it burns at the sin in the lives of men. But at the same time, God touches our tongues as he touched David's tongue, and he was aware of it, and it says that the spirit that was in his tongue motivated that tongue, and here are the wonderful things contained in the Word of God. I'll quote you the other for the sake of time. In Psalm 45, the psalmist says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What does it mean? It means that just as a man would sit down with pen and ink to write out good things about God, he says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And in this Psalm 45, that tongue speaks glorious things of the Father and of the Son and of the Bride. And so here is the tongue that is used for good. That's the remarkable thing. The tongue is simply obeying what is taking place in the heart. And at times the Spirit of God touches the heart, the divine nature, and precious things come out of our lips. And at times Satan puts into our hearts certain things, and then destructive fire comes out of our lips, our tongues. For instance, God put into Peter's tongue these words in Matthew 16. The Savior said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Savior said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." You say, that's God touching the tongue. Yes. And then a little while later, the Lord Jesus said, "I have to go and be crucified at Jerusalem." And the same Peter, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," said, "You'll never go to the cross. Let this never be to thee." And the Lord Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, he was motivating his tongue. You say, Satan was motivating his tongue. Now, isn't that a terrible thing? That your tongue can be moved by Satan, or your tongue can be moved by God. That is why you have to keep it with a bridle. And when that which is of the fallen nature of Satan would speak through your tongue, you bridle that tongue. And you cry to God, "Put a bridle, put a restraint upon my mouth." And that is the solution. The tongue that causes you all your trouble by speaking things that you should not to men and against men, that same tongue can be lifted heavenward and can cry to God, and God can give the limits. He can give wisdom, and he can give restraint, and he can cause that tongue to be filled with praises, the good and bad of the tongue. Now, I want you to see this as well. Look in Psalm 51, because this is what is so important. Some people are liable to be discouraged for life because of the sins that they have committed. Silence forever. But this, look at the heading of the psalm. The heading of the Psalm 51, just before verse 1. A psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone to Bathsheba. And if you remember the circumstances, Nathan spake a parable, and he showed this despicable man that had done a deed that was worthy of death. And David said, "This man is worthy of death." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And David said, "I've sinned." And after David had committed that great sin, this is his psalm of repentance. Now, look at it for a moment. Have verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." What is speaking here? You say, that's the tongue of David. Why, of course it is. Now, look over at verse 14. Let's start at 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." This is what is so important, that Satan, having worked in our lives and caused us to commit grievous sins, with the same tongue we can go and confess our sins to God. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And notice what David is going to do after God delivers him. He says, "If you deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Now that's beautiful. The same one who had committed so grievous a sin can have that sin forgiven. And then with that tongue, he can speak to God and he can sing praises unto God. Now, I want you to see the most beautiful portion in the Old Testament about the tongue. Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. For us who are familiar with the Bible and prophecies, we know of whom this speaks. Verse 4. This is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus. So listen to them. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, who waited with mine ear to hear as they that are taught. Notice, God has given Christ the tongue of the learned that he may speak a word in season to him that is weary. So, what set on fire Christ's tongue? Look at verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. And just as hell can set your tongue on fire, so God and his love can set your tongue on fire. And that is what happened. Now, see just how the Lord Jesus was prepared each day to use that tongue. Look at verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of them that are learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. Tell me, this morning, when you got up, did you turn your ear toward God and say, Lord, let me know what I should do this day. Tell me the words that I should speak. Guide me in my life. Did you do that? The Lord Jesus did it every day. It said in Mark chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus got up a great while before the day and went out into the desert and he prayed to God. Why? Because I just read it to you. It said, he wakens mine ear morning by morning. And what did God do when he wakened his ear? He said, my son, this is what I want you to tell someone today. I want you to speak this word in season to him that is weary. And so you go through the Gospels, and you see those that are the broken and a contrite heart, those that are discouraged, those that are diseased, those that need salvation. And the Lord Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said to the woman that in the city was a sinner, thy sins are forgiven. She loved much. And so the Lord Jesus had that tongue, and his tongue only spoke that which was good. You and I have a double source, and we have one conduit, that is the mouth and the tongue. But the Lord Jesus had the tongue of the learned. He had been instructed by God. He was taught, and therefore God gave him the word in season to speak to him that is weary. So, while I've been telling you about James chapter 3, it says, my beloved brethren, you know these things. It says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? Because I find in chapter 3 of James that if I am quick to speak, if I let come out of my heart without control, without guarding it, then that heart and tongue that have been set on fire of hell shall speak the words of hell. And that tongue will curse man. And then that night I want to go home and use that tongue to bless God. Can you not see the contradiction? The Lord Jesus only had a tongue that blessed God and that blessed man, and that is what we're to strive at. The Lord Jesus had no sinful nature. We do. And because of that, we have to bridle the tongue. Now, let me show you. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18. I want you to see this. It's a very brief verse, but listen to how important it is. Verse 21. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, I want you to understand. I'm going to give you two illustrations, one of death and one of life. Listen to the tongue. When Israel saw the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. We have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and on our children. What was the power of the tongue there? You say that's death. Yes. The Lord Jesus was crucified between two thieves, and one of those thieves said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What resulted from the tongue uttering that prayer? you say, my life. Well, of course it did. And so the power of the tongue is whether you call upon the name of the Lord, and it says in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so some call upon the name of the Lord, like that thief on the cross. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And some with that same tongue say, we will not have this man to reign over us. And that is the power of death. It is in your tongue. That's how important this organ of the body is. All right, now let's look at this verse, because it's also very important. In Isaiah 35, turn to Isaiah 35. Because this is what happened when the Lord Jesus was on earth. 35, and look at verse 5. It says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Now in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. This is something that's going to happen in the future. That for the sake of time, the Lord Jesus had a man brought to him that was deaf and dumb. He was not able to speak. But then the Lord Jesus miraculously healed that tongue, and then he spake plainly. And think of the tongue of that leper when he was healed. When he saw that he was healed, he returned back and fell at the feet of Jesus, and with a loud voice glorified God, giving him thanks. You see what happens? What happens when God touches the tongue? He did it when Christ was on earth, and he's going to do it when the Lord Jesus comes back again. Now, listen to this for the sake of time. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So here is the tongue speaking. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but it isn't motivated by love. And what God says, what I hear is just a clanging, noisy cymbal. But I'm using my tongue. But the tongue not only has to speak words that are motivated of God, but it has to speak true words. And I want you to see this verse. Turn to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, because this is something like what I just quoted to you from 1 Corinthians 13. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, that is doctrinally, theoretically, you hold it that we should love one another, neither with the tongue, but indeed in truth. Here is his tongue saying, I love you, you are my friend, all of these things. But it's hypocrisy. Here is the tongue that is speaking hypocritically. And this was the worst hypocritical thing the tongue ever uttered. When the Lord Jesus said at the Last Supper, one of you shall betray me. And the disciples honestly asked, is it I? Is it I? And Judas Iscariot came up and he said, is it I? Listen to that hypocritical, lying tongue when already he had set in motion the selling of Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And so let us not love in word, that is, we hold the doctrine that we should love one another. Let us not love with the tongue. Is it I telling lies? I'm saying that I love you with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, and I'm sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So this is the power of the tongue for good and for evil, and it can be set on fire of hell, and it can be set on fire of heaven. And so let our tongues be under the complete control of our Father who is in heaven. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the warnings that you've given us. At times, our God, for some of the things that we've said that we can never take back again, some men would be willing to have their tongues cut out because they have said something that resulted in death. Some that cried concerning the Lord Jesus, his blood be on us and on our children. But at the same time, we are thankful that some of us can remember when our tongue said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we are thankful, our God, that at least our tongues at first were motivated by heaven and they spoke good things. And so now, cleanse us from our sins, our God, the evil things that we've said and done, and help us, Father, to have tongues that sing praises to you and speak blessings to man. Let us be like thy Son. Give us the tongue of the learned, and let us know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Let us sustain with our tongues and not destroy with our tongues. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.